I'll give you a little bit, like a rough idea about the work that I'm doing in the Department of Physiology. By the way, I'm a mathematician in training, but my work is applied to physiology, and that explains why I'm in that department. One of the systems that I'm interested in is the immune system and its involvement in triggering autoimmune diseases. Autoimmune disease that I'm interested in is called type 1 diabetes, where T cells, which is type of immune cells, attack beta cells that secrete insulin that regulates the amount of sugar or glucose in the blood circulation. And you can see on the panel on the right side, you see these oscillations in the number of T cells that are observed in animal models that develop type 1 diabetes. Unlike those animals that do not exhibit the disease, you don't see these oscillations altogether. Now, with the moment you mention the word oscillation to a mathematician, they get excited, they want to model this thing and try to explain it, why we have these oscillations. So the way to do it is we look at the rate of change of the population size of these T cells and try to understand the impact of different factors that impact these oscillations. So the models that we develop, they could be either described as ordinary differential equations or partial differential equations. If you're interested, for example, in the temporal dynamics of the population size of T cells, then you describe them as an ordinary differential equations, and the rate of change of dy by dt, so y is the population size, and how it changes with respect to time. Or if you're interested in not only the temporal dynamics, but also in the spatial dynamics of the system. So you have dy by dt, which is the rate of change, and the dy by dx. X is the spatial variable. So if you're interested in, for example, the cytokine secretion and how the concentration of the cytokine affects the dynamics of the process, then you have to worry about the spatial dynamics as well. Okay? So we take these models, we try to use them to make, for different purposes. We could validate mechanisms, biological mechanisms, test hypotheses. We could make predictions, which I would, that could be testable experimentally or non-testable if the technology is not available. We just make the prediction. We could even identify, certain pathways that are sensitive that we could, target them for therapeutic purposes. Or we could actually generate optimal treatment strategies, determine the right frequency, the right dose to treat diseases like type 1 diabetes. Okay, so let me be more specific about what we could do with this modeling. So I'm going to give you one of the things that we made, one of the efforts that we made in my lab. So like I said, the T cells attack beta cells that secrete insulin. And as you can see here, the CTL is a T cell. It binds to the beta cell, and the binding affinity, it changes between the different clones of the T cells, Okay? So by the way, instead of using the word affinity, we use the word avidity, but they mean exactly the same thing, at least for the sake of this talk. So if the avidity is strong, they actually they're more capable of killing the beta cells. So we could do the following mathematical, we translate this into mathematical model, and we could do the following mathematical experiment. We have different cultures of T cells and beta cells, okay? The same number of T cells and the same number of beta cells in each culture, in each dish that you see here. But the avidity of the T cells would differ from one culture to another. And we could basically evaluate how that would affect the number of beta cells with respect to time. So we could run the simulations for over 30 years, which you cannot do experimentally, and see what the outcomes are. Okay? So just to give you an idea what the results would be. So if you look at the avidity on the vertical axis and the killing efficacy, the ability of the T cells to kill beta cells, and you run the simulations and see what happens. You see here that you have a loss of beta cells. This traveling wave represents the loss of the beta cells, and it gives you regimes, outcomes at different regimes, different areas. So, for example, here, the top regime here, for example, this part, the top right corner, you have the killing efficacy being high, but the avidity is low, and that's why you don't see any loss in beta cells. And that's only one clone. You could have a mixture of T cells and see what the outcome are, and that's basically you cannot do experimentally. This is very, very difficult to do experimentally, but the mathematics can help. And that brings me to the end of my talk.
Thank you very much.